last Sunday, which was Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, we heard the account of the Passion from Mark's Gospel. And there are a couple interesting details in Mark's Gospel that aren't found in any of the other Gospels. And one of them that really struck me this year, that if you heard the Gospel, it's so easily goes unnoticed. And that's something that happens right at the end of the betrayal in the garden. And so Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane with a few of his disciples. And there he is betrayed by his friend Judas and arrested. And we're told that all the disciples left Jesus and fled. And then we're told that there was a young man following Jesus, who was wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. So in other words, the guards seized him by the clothing, but then they ended up pulling off this seamless linen cloth, and then the young man runs off naked. So I've always felt a little sorry for this young man, that this is what he's known for in the gospel, running away from the garden scene and naked. But it's a really interesting detail. So the fathers of the church interpreted it this way. They said that the garment the young man is wearing represents a baptismal garment. And we actually wore a baptismal garment when we were baptized as little infants. Last night at the Easter Vigil, we baptized an adult, Ty Lazar, from Holy Family Parish. And after her baptism, she put on a white robe, and she wore that robe for the rest of the Mass. But even as little babies, if that's when we were baptized, we too wore a white robe. And it might have been like a family heirloom that we came in that was white. A few weeks ago, I had a family baptism over in Waconia. And my cousin was telling me as I was getting ready for the baptism that her baby was wearing the Wearing family baptismal garment. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I was baptized in this garment too. But I checked with my mom later, and she didn't know about it at the time. So I was not baptized in the Wearing baptismal garment like most of my cousins were. But anyway, even if we don't come wearing a white garment, we receive even a simple white garment that's placed over us at our baptism. And so what does that white garment symbolize? Well, it symbolizes what happens at our baptism, which is that our soul is washed clean from the stain of original sin. And if we're baptized as an adult, then that our soul is also cleansed of any personal sins we've committed during our life. So as a little baby, we haven't committed any personal sins yet because we can't make a choice. But eventually we can make a choice, and then we begin to sin. And so an adult who's baptized is not only forgiven for original sin, but also any personal sins that they've committed. So Ty didn't have to go to confession before her baptism, and she never has to confess the sins that she committed before her baptism because they're all washed clean in that sacrament. And so the white garment symbolizes the purity of our soul when we're baptized. What a beautiful thing. And so thinking back to that young man who was wearing the garment that he kind of escaped from as he was escaping from the garden, this is what the father saw, that we had a follower of Jesus who abandoned Jesus and who forsook the garment of his baptism. And this is actually what we do too when we choose to sin. We who have been baptized, we end up soiling our soul through our sins, and so our baptismal garment becomes soiled through life. And this is a painful reality for us. It's important for us to remember that sin affects us. It has an effect on us. It hurts us. And if we just think of the evil and suffering in the world today, how much of it is simply the result of the personal sins that people commit? Sins of selfishness, sins of greed, sins of jealousy or hatred or violence or prejudice. So many different kinds of sins that we can commit when our hearts are hardened and we choose not what God wants, which is the good for us, but we choose what's actually evil. And the result of that is suffering in our personal lives and suffering in the world. So this is also what the disciples themselves were experiencing, who fled from the garden at the time of Jesus's arrest and betrayal. The disciples who would have been so disappointed, probably, and confused. If we just take a moment to think about what the disciples were going through during Jesus's passion, what happened? Well, they had spent 3 years with this man that they believed was the Savior of Israel, who was the Messiah. And they loved him. He was their best friend. They had given up their lives for him in order to follow him and to be his disciples. And then this following really culminates on Palm Sunday. Because what happens on Palm Sunday? Well, Jesus enters Jerusalem for the final Passover feast that he'll celebrate during his life. And people want to crown him king. King of Israel. They believe he's the Messiah. And so how much joy the disciples would have felt going into what would become Holy Week. Joy that they finally have a Messiah. Joy that Israel has a king. Joy that the kingdom of God is going to be inaugurated. But then what happens immediately after Palm Sunday? Well, after the Last Supper, then Jesus goes to the garden and something very different happens. Instead of Jesus being crowned with glory like the disciples were expecting, instead he begins to suffer intensely. We hear how in the agony in the garden, Jesus is pressed down with all the sins of the world, the crushing weight of my sin and your sin and the consequences thereof all weigh upon Jesus. And he sweats blood. He's so distressed and anxious. And then he's betrayed by his supposed friend Judas and arrested and taken and interrogated in front of the high priest and then in front of Pilate. And then he's handed over to the guards who scourge him and mock him and spit upon his face. And then bloodied, he has to take this heavy cross and carry that to the site of his execution, where he's nailed to that cross. And what were the disciples thinking the whole time? Well, what's going on? The man that we thought was king, the man we had given our old lives for, now looks like a failure. He's dying as a condemned criminal in utter humiliation. So they would have experienced fear that they too were going to meet the same fate because they were his disciples. They would experience so much questioning in their minds, like, what did we do for the past 3 years that we spent with this man that we thought was the Messiah? But look, he's been taken and captured, and now he's dead. What were they supposed to think? And then, of course, there's the personal shame that comes with knowing that you had abandoned your friend in his time of need. So that young man who leaves behind the garment of his baptism, abandoning his following of the Lord, is symbolic of exactly what the disciples were experiencing at that time. And that brings us to today's gospel reading, which is actually the gospel reading from last night's Easter Vigil, the resurrection account from Mark's gospel. There's something that the young man who's waiting for them and for the women in the tombs, there's something that he says to the women that strikes me every year. And I guess it also strikes me that it's women who have the courage to go to the tomb You know, if someone ever tries to tell you that the Gospels or Christianity is sexist, tell them to read the Gospels, because it's the men who are the cowards who flee from Jesus's suffering, and it's the women who have the courage to go back to the tomb, putting themselves in danger. And then it's the women who receive the first message of that Jesus is risen, and the women who have to go back now to tell the men. So it's the women who announce the good news to the men in the gospel. And what do they tell those men to do? Something that's a little strange. They tell the men that they're supposed to go back to Galilee because that's where they're going to find Jesus. This is something that Pope Francis has commented on so many times, how the disciples are supposed to go back to Galilee. Why Galilee? Well, this is what Pope Francis said last night in his homily. I'm always so happy that Rome is 7 hours ahead of us, so when I don't know what to preach about, I can just look to see what the Holy Father preached about and then copy him. So Pope Francis said last night, he said, going to Galilee means, above all, starting over. For the disciples, it means returning to the place where the Lord sought them for the first time and called them to follow him. It's the place of the first meeting and the place of the first love. From that moment, leaving their nets, they followed Jesus, listening to his preaching and witnessing the wonders he performed. And so to go back to Galilee meant to start again, to go back to that place where they had fallen in love, decided to give their lives. And so that's what brought the disciples from that place of fear and shame and disappointment and confusion to a place of reunion and reconciliation with the Lord. The reason that I brought up the young man in the garden from last week is because he makes a reappearance in this week's gospel. In the other gospel's accounts, it's an angel who announces to the women that Christ is risen. In Mark's gospel, it's a young man who's sitting inside the empty tomb. And what's he wearing? He's wearing a white garment. And so what we see in that white man, the man who's wearing the white garment, is that there's always hope for our baptismal garment to be made white again and restored. And that this is what happens through the risen Jesus. This is what happens to us as members of the church, actually, because we're baptized probably as infants, but then we do a very poor job of keeping our white garment unstained. And we make lots of choices that betray the Lord in different ways. We choose what's actually bad for our soul instead of what's good for our soul. And God knows that it would be like this, so he gives us the sacraments, so that it's through the sacraments of the church our soul can be made white again. And so when we come to Holy Communion, for instance, when we receive the sacrament worthily, our venial sins or our lesser serious sins are forgiven, and our souls are made white again. And if we've committed mortal or more serious sins, there's a sacrament for that too, the sacrament of reconciliation. And the church teaches that when we make a good confession, our soul becomes white again, as it was at our baptism. And it's all because of the power of the risen Christ that flows through the sacraments. And so the man in the white garment sitting in the tomb is a sign for us that there's always the opportunity to begin again. Just like for the disciples, what does Jesus say to them? Go back to Galilee. Start over. I will restore your white garment to you so that you can be my faithful follower and disciple and friend. Brothers and sisters, we've been through a lot in the last year. If we just take a moment to think that a year ago we weren't even able to be here, and all of the pain that people have experienced during the past year, people who have lost loved ones from COVID. I've buried people who died from COVID. I've talked to families who weren't able to be with their loved ones as they took their last breath. But so many people living in isolation and loneliness, so many lonely, lonely people during this time. And everything that's happened in our country, all the unrest that we've experienced, polarization, disunity, so much pain and hurting. But here we are again at Easter time. And every Easter, Jesus tells us, go back to Galilee. Start again. Start anew. Start fresh. With the risen Lord, there's always the opportunity to start fresh. And I feel like this year we have an opportunity, as we've never needed it before perhaps, to start fresh, to start anew, to have hope. And our hope is not in people, because we are fallen and weak, and we are constantly despoiling our baptismal garment, as we could say. Our hope isn't in people. Our hope isn't in government. Our hope is in the risen Lord, who has saved us, who has risen. And so instead of getting so caught up in what's happening in the world, in our country, it's so important that we focus on what's happening here, the place where nobody else is in control of my life except the Lord, if I let him. And so, brothers and sisters, today we are so blessed to be able to be here and to encounter the risen Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead. We thank you so much for giving yourself to us in the sacraments. Thank you so much that the breath of new life breathe through them so that you make us anew each time we receive them. Please look with your mercy and compassion on us today and help us to make a new start wherever we're at in our life, whatever is going on in our heart. Please, Lord, give us the grace to make a new start. Please make our baptismal garments white again so that we can start anew with hope.